Look at verses 7 through 11 in just a moment. 1 John chapter 2. With age, I have definitely noticed the difference in my eyesight. I didn't get my first pair of glasses until I was about 27, 28 years old, somewhere along in there, and it was to see at a distance. I still don't need them up close just yet. I've still got a little more length to my arms, but I can still make it work. And those of you who are in that situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but it's amazing the difference that it can make in how close you are to something as to how, or getting it just at the right distance at how you can see. I still remember when I first got glasses, I had, at that time we actually had insurance for prescriptions, eyeglasses and stuff like that, so I'd gone to a place in the mall in Augusta, and I remember coming out of the mall, and what used to be these green things called trees, all of a sudden I realized they actually had leaves on them. It was fascinating the difference it made to be able to look at them. All of a sudden you could see distinct leaves on these trees. But I do remember trying to walk with glasses the first time and seeing the curb and literally almost like a mule staring at a new gate. I wasn't sure if I wanted to step or not. I took them off. It just felt uncomfortable trying to walk with glasses on. And now literally I'm at the place where so many times I'm looking below my glasses to read and I'm looking through my glasses to see at a distance. So it really, these glasses actually, the reason I wear these all the time in the pulpit is because they're the perfect size for that. I can look below my glasses to see my notes and I can look up out at you to be able to see you. If I take these off, you become blurry. But it's funny how riding down the road that can be true as well. Over here on Legion Road, just around from the church, if you go turn left out of the church parking lot and start down, but if I'm coming back from the high school and get to the Coosawattie entrance there on Legion and just up past it, I remember one of the first times coming through there, I didn't have my glasses on, I had my sunglasses, and as I'm, this was daytime obviously, so as I'm coming up, I see something in the distance, and I think, there's a deer on the side of the road. When I got a little closer, I realized it was a mailbox. In my defense, it has a wooden sort of tree sort of type stump there, and it's brown, so at least it was the right color. And if you ever go that way, you'll go, yeah, he's right. It does sort of look that way at a distance. Then I've noticed in the last couple of months over here, White Path Fabtech has put some new security lights out. Well, the first time I was coming up, say, from the post office direction headed toward 05, about the time you get just before the post office, you can see these two lights, and they're just about the right distance apart to look like headlights on a car. And at that point, there's just enough curvature to the road that looks like it's a car on the road. Well, as you get closer, all of a sudden that car moves up into the air, and it's those security lights. Again, how close you are in proximity to something changes the focus of things. As we look at this text in 1 John this morning, we're going to see how God revealed himself and his love in different ways along the way, giving us further clarity to his love over time. His love was always evident. But I want us to look at how John helps us see God's love coming into focus within the text this morning. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the word you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for the privilege of being able to study your word and to learn more about you and your love. God, help us this morning to see how you have revealed yourself throughout time reminded us of you are the one true God. You are love personified. God, help us to fall more and more in love with you, that we might show this love to those around us. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now in this text this morning, I want us to take a look at three images of God's love. Three images of God's love. First of all, we see in this text God's love in the law. Now in verse 7, John is referring to an old command that you had from the beginning, and that command being the word that you have heard. Now two things could be in play here. John could be talking about what the prophets had said, prophesying about the coming Messiah. But I think more likely John's intent here was to help us focus on the law that God had given, the law of God. You know that God has given us the Ten Commandments, and he instructed us that how we needed to live. Now, what we often fail to understand about the Ten Commandments, it is a clear picture, a clear expression of God's love for us. You see, God simplified things for us. He gave us 10 things to follow. He could have given us a litany of things to follow and overwhelmed us, but instead, he gave us the book Righteous Living for Dummies. Okay, he didn't actually give us that book, but you've seen all those books out there. You know what I'm talking about. He simplified things for us. He gave us 10 simple commands to follow. If you will, 10 simple things to do if you want to be right with God. So let me ask you the question this morning, how's that going? Now, I could say I've never murdered anybody, therefore I am not a murderer. Now, I have in my heart wanted to beat somebody to within an inch of their life. Sorry, it's just true. And the attitude of your heart does matter. And yet we want to say, well, I'm not a murderer. Well, I'm not a liar. Now, there was a time my buddy needed me to cover for him, so I kind of went along with his story to cover for him. Or there was that time when my parents asked me what happened to the last piece of cake, and I said, I don't know. But I'm not a liar. You see, the reality is we sort of walk through the Ten Commandments, and we start to make up all sorts of statements about how we're not any of those things, when in reality, based on the attitude of our heart, if we were all honest, we would probably have to confess that somewhere along the way, we have been in absolute opposition of each of the Ten Commandments at one point or another because of the attitude of our heart. You see, we're all sinful. We're all in need of a Savior. And because of that, God gave us the law so that we'd see our great need. Our great need is that we've broken God's commands, that we're not right with Him, that we can't make ourselves right with Him. We can't simply will ourselves to being better and be a better person and live and follow after these things. So how in the world is all of this and the Ten Commands an image of God's love? Well, I appreciate you asking. God's love is revealed through the law because God didn't want us to be judged by the law. He wanted us to be judged by His grace. Because God has given us the law, He has made us aware of the sin in our life, and consequently we realize that we have a need. Because God has given us the law, we recognize that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Without God giving me the law, I'd be wandering around blissfully in ignorance on my way to an eternity in hell. But because of the reality that God has given the law, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I know that God made the way for me to be forgiven. God loves me. God has shown me His love for me. And it is evidenced in the law. My dad was never the type, when I was young, to walk around and say, I love you, son. He was definitely of the World War II generation. He was a man of his word. When he said something, he meant it. He was an honorable person. He was an honest person. He was a faithful person. He was a loyal person. And while I never recall my dad saying that he loved me when I was young, I can also tell you with confidence that I never doubted it. Because my dad showed his love in what he did. I knew he loved me. He was there for me. He was always there for me. And while it might not have been evident in what he said, it was evident in what he did. God's love might not be evident to us on the surface of His law, but the truth is, it is an expression of His love for us. Because God loved us, He gave us the law so that through it we could see the perfection it requires to enter the kingdom of heaven and recognize that we'll never meet up to that level of perfection apart from Him and apart from the work that He did for us. So we see God's love displayed to us in His law. The first image of God's love we see here is God's love in the law. The second image of God's love that we see here is God's love in the light. Now, Jesus is the light of the world, and His coming was new and a further revelation of the love of God. Now, consider the fact that the Creator of the universe left heaven and came to earth to reconcile us to the Father. He left the comfort, He left the beauty, He left the glory of heaven. As Paul reminds us, He did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but instead He emptied Himself. He gave Himself completely and left heaven and came to earth for us. No one but God Himself could have intervened. No one but God Himself could have paid the price for our sin. Only God could have satisfied the law of God. God wrote the law that made it necessary for Him to come to earth and die in our place. God created us in spite of the fact that He would have to come to earth and die for us. That is truly a picture of love. Mark Hayes and Tim Hughes penned it so well when they said in the chorus, "Light of the world, You stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore You, hope of a life spent with You. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly You came to the earth You created, all for love's sake became poor. The cost He was willing to pay, the price that He was willing to pay for us to be forgiven, for us to be able to experience His presence." When we stop and consider what it is that He did for us, it should elicit that type of response within us. Love was revealed through Jesus in such a way that we should never ignore it. Sadly, many around us do ignore this love. Many around us do reject the Messiah rather than trusting in Him. Many around us simply ignore the overwhelming evidence because they don't want to consider what they might have to give up or quit doing if they accept the love of Christ. But the reality is, we don't quit anything for Him. We gain everything because of Him. Some people don't like the evidence even when it's clearly placed right before them. In the last church I served as a music and youth minister, the church hired a secretary that was, she was an active member of the Church of God, and I am not picking on the Church of God. I want to say there were a lot of things we have had in common theologically, but in her case, there was one particular area that we did not agree at all theologically, and that was on the issue of eternal security, or once saved, always saved, as we sometimes say. And she would constantly want to debate me on that particular subject. So after this going on for quite some time, finally, I got to the point where I wanted to bring some resolution to this because it was constant. And I simply said to her one day, I'll never forget, I was standing in the doorway to the copy room. She was making some copies, and I looked at her and I said, "So based on what you're telling me, that if you were driving home today from work and a dump truck pulled out in front of you suddenly, and you said something," now understand, she believed that if you committed a sin, you had to repent and get saved again, even when you committed a sin. So it was a constant, ongoing thing for her. So I said, "So you mean to tell me if that dump truck pulls out in front of you, and in that moment, that fright, that fear, something unpure comes out of your mouth, something you know you'd never say, you wouldn't want to say, but something because of being frightened comes out of your mouth, you hit that dump truck and you die on the spot, you mean to tell me your God is not big enough to save you from your sin?" She looked at me. She just kind of shook her head and never brought that subject up ever again. You see, the reality is, folks, we're not depending on what we've done. We're depending on what He did, what He accomplished. If it was up to me, I'd be in real trouble. But praise God, He paid the price for me on the cross. And because of that, I am held by Him. Now, I want to cling to Him with everything I have. But ultimately, even when I can't hold on any longer, He still holds on to me. That is the God that we have. That is the light that has been revealed to the world through Jesus Christ. The facts are that Jesus revealed the love of God to the world. God's law revealed His love to the world, but Jesus, when He came, His light was a further revelation of the love of God for the world. So the first image of God's love was revealed in the law. The second image of God's love was revealed in the light. But I want you to see the third image of God's love was revealed. God's love has been revealed in our lives. Now I want you to look again at verses 9 through 11. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, the negative reality that we see here is that when we don't love our brother or sister, we're showing that the love of God is not in us. Remember, the Word of God tells us that they will know we are Christians by our t-shirts. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. If we don't have love in us for those around us, we're showing that we don't know who God is, that we don't know Him at all. On the other hand, when we do show love for those around us, we're showing that we know God and His love is in us. The world needs to see the love of God displayed in and through us. They need to see a genuine expression of God's love through us. The problem with God's love working through us is that it's hard. It's costly. It takes time. Matt Dye did a tremendous job last week reminding us of how we are to love our neighbor, how we're to literally love our neighbor, to care for them, to get involved in their life. You see, one of the problems we have as Christians is we aren't being intentional about getting to know other people, about pouring into their lives. If we're not intentional about intersecting their lives on a regular basis, about being around them and sharing the love of Christ with them. Now listen, I'm not talking that every time you're around them you're whipping out a gospel tract and trying to take them through the Roman road or through the four spiritual laws or whatever other method you want to use. I'm talking about interacting with people and showing them the love of Christ in snippets all along the way so that you're pouring out the gospel in their life. But the only way that can happen is if we're intentional, if we're going to be around them, if we're going to intentionally be involved in their lives. And sometimes that can happen through things you already enjoy doing. One of the things that M28 does that Matt shared with us is the fact that they go in coffee shops. They like to drink coffee. So they go in coffee shops and they spend time in their small group sharing, and then they are interacting with the people there, the people who take care of them, the baristas there, and those kinds of things. They're getting to know those folks, and the people who are there the same time as they are, they're getting to know those folks. You know, M28 does something that's really nuts. They have Sunday night church in Piedmont Park. That's just crazy. You can't have church if you're not in a building. What are they thinking? Tongue firmly planted in cheek. They're out there where people are, where people need to know Christ, and they're involved engaging people where they are. Folks, we've got to get outside the walls of the church. We've got to engage people where they are, and we've got to be intentional about doing it. You see, the people around us in this community, the most likely way they're going to see the love of God, it's not going to be through the law, because they're probably not even going to look at the Ten Commandments. They don't care. And it's not going to be through what they read in Scripture about Christ, because they're not picking up a Bible. The most likely way they're going to see the love of God is what they see in you. What are we doing to show them the love of God? What are we doing? Are we willing to do that hard work? You know, I got to be honest. I don't like doing my taxes. I do not like doing my taxes. And yet I do them every year. I don't have another option. Well, I do, but it's not a good option. Let's just be real. I don't want the IRS knocking on my door and arresting me and hauling me off. So I do my taxes every year. Now, I have to admit, when I know I'm getting money back, I'm a little more motivated to do my taxes, especially if I think it's going to be a pretty good return. I'm a little extra motivated to do that, but even when I do that, it takes time. I have to get all the documents together. I usually use TurboTax. That's not an advertisement for them. I'm just telling you what I normally do. And I have to get all those documents together, and it takes time. Even though I've used it for several years and a lot of my information will automatically load back into that, it still takes time to bring all that stuff together and to enter all that stuff into the computer. And it can take several hours to walk through that process and get all of that done and get everything where it's supposed to be. And when I get done with it, then I go back through it and look through it again and make sure I've answered the questions right. And it can be frustrating and confusing. And this year, I have to confess, because I knew I was going to have to pay a little bit, I procrastinate a little longer. Now, I did start on my taxes in early March, but once I knew that I was going to owe money for sure, I waited till early April to finish. I was not in any hurry to get that done, but I did. I took that time. I made that effort because I knew it was something that had to be done. I had to do that. See, the reality is when it comes to sharing our faith with others, we don't really have a choice if we're going to be obedient to God. And I know so many of you are aware of this. The Great Commission, literally in the original language, says, as you go. As you go. We have a responsibility before our Heavenly Father to share our faith with those around us, but we must be intentional about doing that. And the only way that we're going to be intentional is if we're intentional. I know that was profound. Mind is blown. Just, oh, wow. Unless we are determined that we are going to get out and interact with people and do things differently than we've done them, we're not going to make a difference in the world around us. I want to say to you as the church, we've got to understand that we must be willing to do things different. You can say, well, preacher, we got to do Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night better. There are churches all over that have done Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night great, fantastic. And society has still continued on a downward slope away from God. I'm afraid that doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night better is not the answer. I'm afraid we're going to have to think differently. We're going to have to be intentional about engaging people where they are. I mean, I'm just curious. Do you think more people are in church on Sunday night and Wednesday night than are not in church? Anybody think that? Because I'm here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I can tell you there aren't this many people on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And yet we have this idea that if we just do them better, we just offer more. We've got to go where they are. We've got to rewire the way that we think as a church. And we've got to engage the community that's around us. If we don't, they're never going to know the love of God in our lives. They're just not. So how are we doing? How are you doing? Are you displaying the love of God to those around you? Are they seeing the love of God lived out in your life? What do the people around you who watch your life on a daily basis, what do they know about the love of God from you? Those are convicting questions, but they're questions that we need to answer in our life. Let's let God's love shine through us. Let's be willing to go beyond, to get dirty, to make the effort to interact with other people on a consistent basis that don't know Christ but need to know Him. You see, He's revealed Himself to us through the law. He let us know that we have a need. There are people all around us that don't know anything about the law of God and are never going to know anything about the law of God if they don't see the love of God in us. God further revealed His love to us through His Son. He left heaven and He came to earth. He died on a cross. He ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. He paid the highest price for us. But this world around us is never going to know about that light and about that love if they don't see that love and that light in us. Let's ask God to burden us to shine His light to the community around us. What if we did actually love our neighbor? Could we make a difference in Gilmer County? I believe we could, because I know the God we serve. And if we'll be obedient, He'll do the work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You that John challenges us and reminds us, Lord, that our lives tell the story. God, and if we don't have love for our brother, and we're so short-sighted sometimes, God, forgive us that we think that love for our brother means love for our fellow Christians only. God, help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ more and more, and help us to be an encouragement and to be accountable to one another in that. But God, I pray that our love for You would grow so much that we would love the lost the way that You do. And God, we'd be willing to get off of our tradition and off of our comfort to be willing to engage them where they are. God, give us a vision for You. Help us to love You so much that we love them enough to want them to know You. God, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, who's never placed their faith in You, I pray right now they'd ask forgiveness and trust in You, knowing that You and You alone can forgive. Lord, for each of us as Christians, I pray You'd burden our hearts for those that we know that don't know You, and that we'd be more intentional about living out Your love before them. God, there are others here who are hurting, who are dealing with various things in their life, and they just need to know Your closeness right now. So God, You minister to them. Meet them right where they are. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.